Broadcasting live, it's America's longest-running national radio talk show on computers, Computer America, hosted by national columnist Craig Crossman. Look for Craig's weekly column in your favorite newspaper. This show is being beamed nationwide by the Business Talk Radio Network, the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, and on the internet at ComputerAmerica.com. Keep it here for technology news, computer products, guest interviews, and your phone calls. You're listening to Computer America.
Hello and welcome into the Computer America Show. It's the nation's longest running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. It's Tuesday, the 24th of April, 2012, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
And I'm your co-host, Ben.
And so how do you sound, Ben? It sounds good. You sound fine.
It sounds crystal clear.
All right, excellent. Well, that's good to hear. And welcome into a Tuesday edition of the Computer America Show. And we got a really great program lined up for you. Well, let's get to it. Now, our first guest this hour actually lives in London and is speak to – it's actually about like 3 in the morning right now. Patricia Reichel is here, and she's a well-known computer expert and specializes in helping people with computers in their home. And in home offices. She's here tonight to talk about helping users to understand their computers and some of the main problems home computer users confront. Patricia, welcome into Computer America. How are you this evening?
I'm very well, thank you. And I'm going to say good morning to you because it's Wednesday morning here.
It is Wednesday morning there. And was it about 3 in the morning now?
Yes, it is.
Well, I have to say, you're a real trooper. Although I have to say that myself, I'm always a late night. Since we do a late night show, I usually don't get to bed to 4 or 5 in the morning, and myself. So I don't know.
So you think nothing of it?
Yeah, I think nothing of it. Exactly.
But he has no sympathy for the average person that wakes up at 8 and goes to bed at 9.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, right. I'm just glad it's radio because I don't have to dress up.
No, that's right. That's exactly. Well, me too.
Because I enjoy that perk too.
Yeah, Ben and I both have a face for radio, so I think it's easy to say. But tell us a little bit about what it is that you do. What's your background and how you kind of got started in computer training?
Well, I started corporate computer training about 16 years ago, and actually I did live in America, so I'm very familiar with particularly New Jersey and the Washington, D.C. area. I lived in Silver Spring for 7 years.
Well,
and in Edison, yes.
You didn't pick up their accent, so.
No, I didn't pick up that accent, no. Very English. I grew up in Surrey in England, and that accent has stayed with me. Mm-hmm. But about 16 years ago, just after my son was born, well, I was just getting back into thinking about working, I took a bit of a career change from video production into doing corporate computer training, and it started off quite gently with going over the office suite, which was, you know, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Access, and Outlook, and also the operating system of the day, which was Windows 95. And it was lovely because I got to really go over the same classes again and again and again, which was particularly good for me because I was trying to learn my trade, so to speak, and I didn't want to have too many variables. So I got pretty good at knowing all the nooks and crannies in Microsoft Word. And it started off with doing the introductory courses into the advanced and getting more skilled. And being in the Washington, D.C. area, I was able to go to the Social Security Administration in Baltimore, mm-hmm. the Treasury. It was very exciting and very interesting, mm-hmm. but it actually has been quite a good foundation for what I do now, which is home computer training.
How did you get into that? I mean, how did you get started in that?
In home training?
Yes.
It probably really by accident, because people just started to ask for my help. And even though when I started doing corporate training, I probably wasn't really skilled for home training, I did have a home computer, mm-hmm. and I always sorted out the problems. And it developed from there. And I would say that when I did corporate training, particularly take a place like the Social Security Administration in Baltimore, it's a mm-hmm. massive campus type place. You can get lost in there. And I remember teaching a number of classes, and when the computers went wrong, let's say the keyboard stopped working or the printer stopped working, I didn't really have time to ask for an engineer to come along. It would take too long. So I quickly realized to be a good trainer, I needed to be more self-sufficient.
So basically, it was sort of an accident. And it's interesting in life, so many of our paths are kind of dictated by coincidence or accident or things that we hadn't really planned for, and it turns out it's a career, you know. Or...
Yeah, when Craig abducted me, you know, 4 years ago, I didn't think I'd be doing this.
No, and look how good you are at it.
I know, you just snatched me off the street.
Yeah, well, I can recognize talent when I see it. So, well,
I think when I did corporate training, obviously it started off doing groups, mm-hmm. but then I would say right around 1998, there was a bit of a shift. I don't know if you noticed it, but executives were being given computers. Suddenly they were showing up in their offices. They weren't familiar with them. The secretaries had the advantage, but these executives, some of them were quite intimidated when laptops and things would show up. Mm-hmm. And I was around during that time, and I got to teach some executives one-to-one. They tended to not like to sit in with the general staff. You got to see some of their anxiety up close, and that actually helped me quite well in understanding people's anxieties with home training, because to be a good home trainer, you have to understand technology, of course, but you've got to understand people's anxieties.
Sure.
Because that's the big issue.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about some of the main areas of home computer problems and coming up. By the way, Addison, who's in our chat room, wants you to say aluminum.
Aluminum. Oh, aluminium.
There you go. And I have to say that when you're training people, what I want to ask you, and I said coming up because we're coming up to the break, I want us to focus on some of the main areas of home computer problems that you might like to share with us, because I think that this is give us some additional insight as to what it is that you actually did. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network. If you want to get in touch with us or call or speak to us, you can pick up the phone and call 866-606-TALK. That's 866-606-8255. That number will get you on and get you through. 22 minutes after the hour here on the Computer America Show. Patricia Reichel is here with us. She's visiting us from London, and she's connected. We're using Skype to connect to her. It's about 3 in the morning there, but she's joining us, and she's a computer trainer. Started with corporate computer training, but now kind of specializes with people who have problems in their home, probably because a lot of people just knew you were computer literate and would say, hey, I need help, and you were the one that they turn to. And I guess you probably figured, you know, well, people keep asking me for help. Why don't I just, you know, get some money for it or make it worth my while and start training in a formal manner. Is that fairly accurate?
It did start off like that. Mm-hmm. And I think what happened is if I had tried to do home computer training 16 years ago, I don't think there would have been enough business, because mm-hmm. we're all doing more and more on the computer. So as friends and family were asking more,
right.
it occurred to me there were more and more problems, more and more difficulties in the home. And we don't even have just one computer typically in a family anymore, do we? We have multiple computers. So that sets up a whole new set of problems.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of growth and change. And people today, for the most part, don't use computers as a quote-unquote computer. Basically, they just use it as another appliance in the home. I mean, they need to find something out. They go to the computer to get it. They buy something. They shop. Whatever they're doing, they're just using the computer to get the job done. They're really not involved in, you know, change the desktop or the background, and let me add this, and let me, you know, get into the behind the scenes. They just want to drive the car. They don't want to be a mechanic.
That's right. And I would say a lot of younger people are typically like that. Mm-hmm. My older clients are a little bit more traditional and are using the computer a little bit how maybe we used to. Mm-hmm. And if we had more time, we would like to.
But would you say, is home computer training considered a luxury or a necessity?
Well, I have always thought of it as a necessity, obviously. It's my business. It's definitely a necessity. Yeah. It's like milk and butter. We must have it. But no, I do think for people who do not understand their computer, who do not like it, they should have lessons and they should budget it. I had one client, she was so funny, she said she would rather do without a new dress than do without her computer lesson. That's how much she valued it.
Wow.
And that's really nice to hear that. And other people would say it's life-changing because it connects them to family. It is life-changing. And in that way, I would say it is essential.
Yeah, I think it's become a big part of our lives. The internet and connectivity and the instant access to news. And I mean, it's just not only the TV anymore, because you don't have to wait for the 11 o'clock news or whatever time it is in, wherever you are to watch the news. You don't have to wait to the stories that they pick. You can pick the stories. You can see what's going on. You can actually interact with it and get the information that you're interested in watching. So certainly that. And of course, not only is it a place for information and news, but also entertainment. I mean, you can watch streaming videos, movies. I mean, so it's become not only for business, but also for entertainment and just enjoyment. We have a computer in our kitchen, and my wife is cooking something, she needs to look up a recipe. She just calls it right up there on the screen, and finds out what she needs, and then she hits another, I think it's a touch sensitive screen, she taps it again, and then it turns into a TV, so she can watch TV while in the background. So all of that is, I think, is more of an integration of the computer into the home, and that's certainly a good thing for you, because that's tell us about your a typical day for you and a typical client.
I do teach quite a few retired people, so that's somewhat typical for me. Not too many children, and perhaps they feel they already know it all, which I would disagree with, actually. But the retired community are really a nice client base for me, because they have the time and they are wanting to learn. So a lot of my clients are retired and they will be wanting to know certain things. And the typical things they're interested in is connecting with family. They may have a grandchild nagging them to get onto Facebook. So they perhaps wouldn't want to be on Facebook, but then they're being forced in a way. So I will try and get them to feel comfortable with that. And also, if you've got family far away, I'll be wanting to teach them Skype, for example. Mm-hmm. So my mother-in-law, she lives in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Every other week we do a Skype call. My daughter will play Scrabble through a Facebook app, but also we'll be talking through Skype. So there's lots of different variations of how you can help people over the miles. Mm-hmm. And more families are spread out. So this is becoming something that I'll do a lot of. When someone seems to be lacking confidence, that's a big area. But also sometimes people have a lack of computing understanding, and they can get the two muddled up. If you lack confidence, you're not able to address the problem. So you have to sort of unravel it a little bit and try and understand where maybe things went wrong. Sometimes people will have me round after failed attempts at trying to read a book to learn the computer, or they've gone to a community class and it's been too fast for them, or it's just not been appropriate. So it really is very varied. I'm doing quite a lot of social networking lessons now, teaching people about Twitter, and I'm on Twitter myself. So it's nice to encourage that kind of communication, because you can find out information that's useful for people. Less and less word processing. I used to do quite a lot of word processing. And
music means we've got to take a break. This is the Computer America Show. We've got Patricia Reichel here with us. We'll continue on with her right after these words.
Back to the Computer America Show. Patricia continues on with us, and you know, that whole last segment, it sounded like deja vu, because I was having the exact same conversation, I think it was yesterday, in the grocery store here, and I was talking with my neighbor. Like, I live in a cul-de-sac kind of deal, and he lives across the cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
He was at his day job, and he is a retiree, or he was a retiree, but he has a day job. And, you know, he's like 70, his name's Mr. Crone, and he was telling me that, you know, he knows nothing about computers. He hates that he has to use a computer, and, you know, he doesn't know anything about it, and I offered, you know, to do exactly what you do, is, you know, go over there, help him, show him how to use different things and things that he needed to know. But do you ever run into people who just really are dead set against having, you know, being forced to use the computer?
Well, they probably don't ring me, but I know what you mean. There is a reluctance. There are people that will say to me, I feel that I'm getting behind. I'm embarrassed when I go out to dinner with friends, because they'll say, I'm going to email you the photos. And then I'll say, oh, but you don't have email. And you start to feel excluded. And I think some people, maybe a lot of the retired community that do phone me, have reached that point where maybe it's rock bottom, like you're describing, and they feel no way out. And I'll say to people, computers and technology, the digital world that we live in, it's not going away. We've got to keep up. And shows like yours, Computer America, help us keep up really, really well. But if you don't get on board and you don't start, you just fall so far behind, because each year we're layering more and more knowledge, we're getting better and better, and so we move ahead, don't we? And then we have a bit of trouble even relating to those people that haven't begun that journey yet. And that's how I see it.
Well, and it's very correct what you're saying. However, sometimes a lot of the things that the people learn then become obsolete, and so they don't really need to know that, you know, so perhaps maybe... it's not like they have to go back since the beginning of computers and learn everything that we all learned. I mean, you know, they'll probably never see the light of a floppy disk. You know, they won't need to know all that. So,
that you're right. It's true. And perhaps it's a confidence that we'll have that'll just naturally mm-hmm. help us move along with the new things, mm-hmm. because we have to spend quite a lot of time keeping up, don't we?
Yep.
And the people that are new to it, it's just something, it's rather a lot of information for them to take on board, because they're getting a lot of it at once. So I say to people, take your time learning the computer. It takes longer than they think. I think that some people think that they can have maybe a couple of hours and they'll be off and running. That's a good start. But if you really want to be, you know, good with the computer, you've got to have more help than that. And you've got to really study it like you're studying a foreign language, I think.
Well, let me ask you this. If you have somebody who's new and you want to try to make it as easy as possible, do you find a difference, or maybe recommending rather like a Macintosh as opposed to a PC, Windows? So do you find that to be of help? I mean, or is it platform specific? Or when you go to someone who doesn't have a computer, do you make a recommendation between the two platforms?
Over here, I think it's only about 5% of the population in the United Kingdom used Mac. And I think if you take certain areas like Brighton, which is close to where I live, you might find it a bit higher, and certain groups will use Macs more than Windows. But because the majority of people are using Windows, I tend to recommend Windows, because I want them to have, I want it to be as easy as possible. And I tend to think of incompatibility and just issues that may come up with the Mac. And also if they're talking to friends, let's say they're receiving files or emails from them, or just talking to them and how to use the computer, it's more likely to be the same. So that's probably what I would recommend, a Windows computer, and I do.
Right. Addison in the chat room, for example, says that he recommends Macs to people who are equals PC challenged, you know. although, you know, with a Mac, you can always run Windows on a Mac, too. So there's...
Yes.
Yeah, that's the exact thing you want to tell. You know, exact thing that you want to tell. You know, you can either learn one operating system, or you can just learn both. You know, that's whatever's easier for you.
I think so. I mean, the Macs are great in that you seem to have a lot less problems in terms of updates. I was helping someone today, a lady who's 80 today. Actually, I didn't realize it was her birthday until she mentioned it.
Wow.
And we were just doing a lot of updates. She had a Vista computer, and her story is quite interesting because. I met her about a month ago, and she decided reluctantly to have lessons. She had a Vista laptop in her dining room, covered up by a blanket, just sort of hidden away, hoping it would go away. It was a gift, and it was hidden there, and it was like buried treasure. I said, come on, we've got to get this laptop out in the open and connected to the internet. So I also got her on the internet. And I did feel a little bit bad that I wanted to get going and show her some really exciting things. And there was like one update after another. And then there was the Vista service pack, the big bump pack. And then Vista pack 2 came through today. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, I'm really sorry about this. There's just so many updates. We've got to get them out of the way to make it secure. But we had that running alongside while I was showing her email. But it's a big breakthrough. And today she told me she likes her computer. So it's a big breakthrough.
Yeah, exactly. Well, those updates can be a little intimidating. So, you know.
And I don't think people understand why they're there. They just look at it as a nuisance. Yeah. We have to look at it as they're there for a reason. It's patching a problem. It's going to make life easier. We have to go with the flow.
Speaking of updates, just for those of you who are listening, Firefox just came up with an update today to a version 12. So if you have automatic updates turned on, it'll do it for you automatically. If not, you should update it, especially for those who are using Windows, because the update 12 for Firefox is really focused to some of the issues and problems they were having with Windows. So you should definitely give that an update. Or if not, just go to the menu and update the information, and it will update itself for you.
And Chrome is still perfect, so, whatever.
Chrome is perfect. It still has updates from time to time. All right, so let's talk about some of the main areas of home computer problems. I mean, do you have any funny lesson highlights that you might use?
Well, the days are very unpredictable, and I think what I've realized is that home computer training does intertwine, obviously, with people, and people are funny sometimes. I will have funny lessons when it's the couple. I call it the couple lesson, the husband and the wife. You get a little bit of a power struggle going on there sometimes, where typically, not always, but typically the man likes to dominate. And if they're sharing a computer, it's quite difficult. And so I might say, have you ever thought about getting two laptops? Right. I know you can share this, but it's proving to be difficult. Mm-hmm. And so that can be interesting, and you can feel a bit like a marriage counselor / computer trainer trying to help the underdog get a word in. So that can be interesting. I do remember a funny day when I was teaching. It was Microsoft Word, and it was in America at a law firm in Washington, D.C., and I was teaching lots of legal secretaries all the ins and outs of Microsoft Word, and in bursts this attorney, all stressed, just really anxious. And he said, something terrible's happened to my document. It's all gone horribly wrong. You must help me. I mean, it was just such a cry for help. Mm. And the secretaries were giggling. I don't think they liked him very much. Oh, and I said, well, why don't we just take a little break here from my lesson that you interrupted? And I went to his office. And what had happened is, in Microsoft Word, you've got different views, as you may know. And he had clicked on a print layout view from the main view into something called outline view. And so it was just one click of a button had made his document look very peculiar. He couldn't recognize it. And so the good news for him was I just clicked on print layout view and everything looked nice for him. And the reason he was so stressed is it was a document that had to be at the courthouse, I think within 30 minutes of when he burst into the lesson. So he was so stressed.
Yeah.
But of course, everyone in the class found it amusing. And it made me think, and the secretaries we were talking about it, saying, well, knowledge is power. It's good to know these things.
Yeah, it's interesting because my wife is 30 years of corporate legal paralegal and has worked for lawyers all her life. So I won't begin to tell you some of the stories that I heard with lawyers and how paralegals and secretaries kind of, you know, run the office. And there's the relationship between lawyers and the people who work for them is usually stressed.
Yes. I worked with, well, as a freelance trainer, it was quite nice. I would, you know, helicopter in and out and wouldn't really have to get involved in any of the politics, but I did sense a lot of stress.
Yes.
And it didn't help that I was helping people adjust to the rollout, they called it, where Friday, they've got WordPerfect as their word processor. They come in on the Monday, and guess what? There's Microsoft Word in there. So everybody was completely upset about it, and you'd have to teach these people about how great Microsoft Word was. You don't worry, you won't be missing WordPerfect. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's always interesting elements to the day.
Patricia Reichel is here with us. We're talking about her experiences with computer training. Oh, we'll be right back. $10,000. Patricia Reichel is here with us, and she is a computer expert who offers training for people in their homes. And again, it seems to be that a good portion of the people that you train are more in the senior citizen arena. And I don't know, I'm a little saddened by that because I think that. Although in the age groups, the computer really was not really in the home, and it's only been the past 20 years where we've really seen the personal computer make its way into our homes. Is it that the elderly people are just not as was as plastic, you know? Or is it because they haven't grown up with it, and so they have to learn from scratch? Is that the problem? Or maybe perhaps if they had grown up with it, then they wouldn't have had to experience this situation?
I think they've actually got the confidence to say, I'm going to have lessons, and they have the time.
Yeah.
And they don't have the knowledge, a lot of them, so it ties in well and it'll motivate them. Really, I should be hearing more from people in the middle years, the 30s, the 40s, mm-hmm. and the 50s, though that sort of age group. I do help that age group, but it's mm-hmm. probably about 25% of my client base. Those people are struggling, and they might be good at, let's say, an iPad on their commute because they've got the time to really get into it, or a smartphone. Mm. But the family computer, which you could argue is that dying away, you still need to have some of that knowledge of how the printer works, how the broadband works. Mm-hmm. When things go wrong in the family home, it's quite mm. stressful, isn't it? You've got someone saying, I need my homework printed. How come my printer isn't working? And people in those middle years need to do a good job on that. And when I chat with people around that age, talking to some friends, there tends to be a bit of difficulty there. You might hear about the internet not working for a week or two because no one's thought how to troubleshoot, or the printer's down for a month, problems like that. And you think, well, that's not right. We need to be doing a better job for all the years. But I'm glad that the retired people are finding ways to get help, because they could feel so isolated if they had no one to turn to. And I don't think a book is the right way to learn the computer for a real beginner.
Yeah. Well, if you had any words of advice to people who are in that age who are, I mean, because I know so many people who are and are completely computer literate, and of course they immerse themselves in technology, and you see it in their home and their work, you know, even from their little GPS navigator in their cars now are connected. I saw you find in people's homes, you find wireless connections, and so many things like the printers are now wireless. They just, you know, work over the air. You don't even have to hook them up anymore. I think the technology continues to change and continues to adapt. And I guess where do you see we're going from here? Do you think the situation is going to get better, or is it going to get worse?
I think it's probably going to get more complicated. In some ways, things are simpler. Mm. But if you think about Windows 8 is coming along, isn't
yep.
it? And I saw that presentation that Steve Ballmer did at the CES show, so that's the Computer
sure.
Electronics show in
yep.
Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
That actually worried me, because it looked complicated. It looked like quite an adjustment for people that are familiar with the Windows systems the way they currently are.
Mm-hmm.
Request that I get very often when someone has a new computer, the request I hear again and again, and it is often from the retired community, is make my new computer look like my old.
Oh, we don't want to do that.
No, that's what
no,
I hear
no,
a lot.
No, no.
And that's a bit worrying, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Now, the Metro user interface is going to be here. Of course, you can go back to the typical one, but so many of the things that you won't have the start button. At least now they show no start button, but they might be adding that back. Who knows? But the point is, you newer things come along, and you have to let go of the older. And you just you don't want to stay with the old because you're comfortable with it, because you're going to get left behind again. I've seen that happen over and over again. People say, "Oh, some people using Windows XP," and although it's nice, Microsoft is stopping support for it, and you need to move on. You need to let go of that older hardware and those floppy disk drives and things that you're used to, and move forward. And
yeah, there's so much change, mm-hmm. and I suppose companies like Microsoft mm-hmm. and Apple, they're going to make money on making changes, improvements.
Well,
some
yeah.
things are improvements.
Yeah.
Some of the updates and some things feel like change for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it, I would agree, it is necessary, because we've
yeah.
got new things that we're doing.
Yeah. Well, Patricia, we're pretty much out of time. I want to thank you so much. Give us your website. People want to go visit and see what you're doing. They can go to www.loveyourcomputer.co.uk.
That's right.
And we actually have a link to it at computeramerica.com. Just go to computeramerica.com, click on our show notes button. Then we already have a link to Patricia's website. And in case you're driving and you can't write it down, just go to computeramerica.com and click on the show notes button, and you can see her website and get more information there. Patricia, thank you so much for being with us here tonight. It was a pleasure having you here.
Oh, thank you very much. I've really enjoyed it. It's lovely.
All right, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Okay.
Take care, Patricia. Bye-bye. All right. There she goes.
Good night.
All right. So there you go. And.